Very interesting topic, cloud computing. I need not to explain more about the cloud. You know, everybody is aware about the cloud. Why it is a buzzword, right? Why it is, you know, a future? Because cloud is something, you know, is, if you ask me, it is giving you the almost impossible resources. Obviously, it comes with a cost. So today, many of you might have observed or will observe that, you know, when I am filling my appraisal or, you know, my annual compensation review, you will feel that, you know, there is slowness all the time, every year. Why? Because everybody wants to use that, you know, platform. If I have if I've moved that particular platform on the cloud, I can easily achieve my agility. I can easily achieve my capacity expansion. So I can always tell my partner that, hey, between January to March end, probably go ahead and please increase the resources by 5x. Obviously, he will bill me, but my users will have the seamlessness. So in a nutshell, cloud is something I can achieve the agility. It is almost up all the time, all depending on, you know, the contract which you have. It also gives me a flexibility to access it from anywhere virtually. And it also gives me to expand, reduce, and pay per use model, right? So talking about the cloud further, it also gives me another advantage, which we'll be talking in just a bit, that, you know, I can greatly reduce my capex or my capital, you know, kind of requirement. We'll talk about it in just a bit, but now you understand that cloud are of the basically for of the three types. One is infrastructure as a service, people call it as IaaS, platform as a service, PaaS, and the software as a service. Now let's you know, talk about them in detail after this slide. Okay, cloud computing. What are the features of my cloud computing? Let me spend a little bit of time here, because it's a very important topic and important for you to understand the feature of the cloud. Because today, if you are not on the cloud, tomorrow you may be on the cloud for sure. Okay, resource pooling. I just explained that, you know, you have the high capacity server environment or the firewall environment in the cloud, which is obviously shared, right? Depending on the model which you have chose for the cloud. Now, consider an example wherein you have, you know, five servers and you have assigned, say, 4 core CPU, okay, to each server. Now, you have noticed that one of the server is, you know, kind of giving a slowness, while responding the user requests. So when you investigated further, you came to know that, hey, my CPU is, you know, kind of getting 100% utilized. What do I do? What I'll probably do is I will investigate the other three servers. I'll see that, hey, this server is consuming only 10% of the CPU. Why can't I, you know, kind of allocate the resources of this server to my existing server, which is facing a problem? That's something about the resource pooling, right? Talking further about on-demand self-service, so everything is available on a single pane of a glass, wherein the example which I quoted of the HRMS system or the human resource system, if you want to increase your resources, go ahead, log into the portal, increase the CPU, increase the bandwidth, whatever you want to do, increase the storage, whatever you can do it with the click of a button, right? Moving on to the easy maintenance, since the cloud has the strong supporting system at the back end, the maintenance, patching, upgrade becomes very easy for you. And you are completely offloading your mundane task to the provider. Okay, so that's also a very big advantage. You have a very large network access, right? So when I talk about the network access, the data on the cloud can be replicated across the world, depending on the model which you have taken, right? So if you are probably using the resources from India, probably you would latch onto the Singapore or maybe the Japan server. But if somebody is trying to access from US, they will obviously face the more latency. So what I probably have, I can have a copy of that, which is, you know, highly kind of in sync with my primary one. And I can have those services being accessed from my Atlanta, right? So that's something about having the large, the network access. Availability, I said, it is virtually always available, always, right? Because the environment is so redundant that even if the provider wants to perform some action, want to upgrade, want to patch, They can seamlessly move the resources or the load onto the other environment, and they can seamlessly do it, right? So that, so availability is also one of the prime reason people move onto the cloud. Completely automatic it is, right? So you just need to select the increase of the resources or creation of a VM in the backend within the minute of say 10 minutes or 15 minutes, your VM is up and ready and you can use it, right? It's very economical, right? Why I say economical? Because having a CapEx of invested for my on-prem site, as you know, and as I had, you know, kind of explained during the first chapter, that the hardware gets depreciated over a period of time and you might have to upgrade them. But in the cloud, it's a headache of the provider, right? So it turns out to be a very economical state of affairs. Security is now inbuilt, when you talk about cloud. There are several certifications, SOC 1, SOC 2, SOC 3, which, you know, the cloud provider goes through, wherein the third party gives the assurance that, you are in safe hands, you're good to go. The security is inherent feature of the cloud. However, depending on your purpose, your need, it needs to be assessed once again. Because if you want your resources to be available publicly, like say, for example, Microsoft O365, okay? If you want your employees, your users to access the emailing system from everywhere, from the public network, maybe you would like to add another authentication mechanism of the multi-factor, which you can probably control, right? So that's something on the security piece. Pay as you go. Everybody wants on-demand service, right? If you are buying, say 1 kg of one thing, you will obviously pay for the 1 kg only. You may not like to pay for more. Similarly, but yes, you can always ask for 1.25 kg, and maybe you can ask for 250 grams as a free. But in the cloud, it is as and when you provision the resource, you deprovision the resource, you will be billed up to that particular requirement. Okay, and finally, it's a completely a measured service. There's a complete transparency as you go. Your management, everybody knows in a system that this resource was provisioned between so and so time to so and so time, and that's why I'm billed up to that, right? So we have discussed all this, but let's quickly talk about few of the things in case if I missed out, right? So I said slicing and dicing of the resources, it's very feasible. I gave you an example of the resource which is 10% utilized and the resource which is 100% utilized. You can easily swap it, right? The another thing is about the alignment happening on the real-time basis, okay? So it is not that you want to align or you want to increase the resources and it will be increased after 24 hours. No, it's not the case. It's immediate, right? Scalability is also kind of inherent. The example of HRMS I just gave you some time back, wherein you increase your resources as and when you need. HRMS is one example. You may have your enterprise ERP system, maybe SAP or something, wherein you know for sure that between February to March I have a high sale time. All the sales people will be kind of pushing the orders onto the system, and I may face a slowness. So let me increase the resources beforehand, right? So that's also something very easily achievable. Maintenance is fairly easy. So when we'll talk about the several model as we progress, you'll come to know that what is the responsibility of whom. So there may be a several components on the cloud when you move, but there's a clear segregation depending on the service model which you have kind of taking it. This also we have touched, that it's a wide network access. You virtually can access the resources from everywhere. It is just a requirement of the internet. However, there are also restrictions when you go onto the cloud. There are also limitations onto the cloud. We'll also talk about them, right? Everything is not as rosy as it seems on the cloud. It's fairly transparent. I told you that the moment you increase your resources, you know for sure that why you were built for this specific extra resources. And the data security is also one of the important thing. Again, there may be also a demerit of it, wherein if your regulation or a local law demands that the data should be residing within the country, there has to be the proper agreement, proper understanding with the cloud provider. Okay, so if you notice this flow chart, okay, there are two broad categories of the cloud. One is based on the deployment and one is based on the service categories. Okay, so let's spend a little bit time here and let me explain you what are the various categories. So if you talk about the deployment categories, okay, there is a public cloud, there is a private cloud, and there is a community cloud, and also the hybrid cloud. We'll be talking about each in the further slide, but now you understand that there are two broad categories. Under the deployment categories, you have four flavors, and under the service category, you have infrastructure as a service, IaaS, you have a software as a service, SaaS, and you have a platform as a service. Okay, so let's talk about each in detail. Public cloud. What is public cloud? Okay, public cloud is nothing. The moment you say public cloud, it is accessible for the general public. Talk about a Google cloud. Okay, your Gmail, it's also on a cloud. Okay, your Dropbox, it's also on the cloud. It's a publicly available. Similarly, for your organization resources, if you want some application to be accessed from internet anywhere, probably you can go for this particular model. Let me give you an example here from the enterprise point of view. You have an application called an eSafety. Okay, so eSafety is an application which talks about the security measures you need to take before you enter into a unit or before you enter into a plant. Okay, now I have my partner who is mandated to go through this training. Okay, so it's probably a half an hour training which they have to go through it. But maybe I'm scheduled to come probably after a week's time. Okay, but I want to finish that training. I will just show this, hey, I finished this training and please allow me in. So that's something can be taken as a model to host their application onto the public cloud, because it is required to be accessed from everywhere, right? Private cloud, a very closed kind of the network, or maybe I would say the extension of your on-prem data center. When I say the extension, it is available, accessible only if you are into an organization network. Your organization network could be what? Your organization network could be the LAN network of the unit or of the office which you're operating from. Your organization network could be the virtual private network. The moment you connect on the VPN, you have been given the IP address of the organization, right? So these private cloud is accessible only from that closed network. You do not offer this accessibility from the external party or from the external internet, right? Community cloud, a very common these days people or the companies use to achieve the cost saving. Now let me give an example. Okay, there are two or three companies who are into the the pharmaceutical industry. Okay, now they want or they are into the research and development, right? And the research and development consumes a lot of resources, consumes a lot of people, consumes a lot of time, right? I as a company do not want to alone invest or spend the amount on the infrastructure. What I will do, I'll probably pick up or I'll talk to some other company in my same domain. I'll probably have the handshake with them. I'll have an arrangement that let's go onto the community cloud, which gives the facility to access these resources only to that companies which are a part of this community. Okay, suppose depending on your need. So suppose if you tie up with three or four companies who are into the same field, you may would like to share that amount and probably you can give the access to those resources so that everybody can play around with the resources, can do R&D or the research and development, and with the optimized cost. So that's also something, the model which is fairly being used. Hybrid cloud. What if you already have invested in your existing data center, right? Imagine the scenario wherein you are a legacy company, and you are in the industry since a long time. So traditionally, you already have invested the large space. You already have the large rack environment, large server environment where you are hosting your resources. Now you have a requirement to add more, but obviously you have run out of the current space. So what probably you would like to do is, you would like to have an extension to your your private on-prem infrastructure with a cloud model. Okay, so I will be using this hybrid cloud, wherein I will have a mixture of the public cloud as well as the private cloud. If I want to increase my resources, or say if I want to provision a server for a development purpose or for a test purpose, I'll probably provision onto the cloud and not onto my on-prem. Okay, this is also a model which is being used. Now let us talk about infrastructure as a service. Again, many of you might have already heard about this terminology, but infrastructure as a service is nothing but you just take the infrastructure component from the cloud. Okay, the underlying operating system, the underlying the application will be your responsibility. Okay, so we'll also talk about the several responsibility specific to this model, but for now, examples for the infrastructure as a service are Microsoft Azure, wherein you can of course provision your infrastructure. Cisco Metapod, it could be another example, and the DigitalOcean. Okay, so all these examples are a part of your infrastructure as a service. Moving on furthermore on the infrastructure as a service, that if I have my legacy environment, okay, which will run only on a specific kind of a platform, I may would like to retain it unless or until I upgrade it to my say the future infrastructure. Okay, so what I'll probably do is I will take the infrastructure which can be scalable easily, and I'll get my things done. The moment I have sunset that application, I'll probably move on to the cloud. Platform as a service, again a very important concept here, wherein the customer need not to worry about running and managing the infrastructure there. So the provider will provide you the platform wherein customer is expected to install and manage their applications. Okay, so the examples of the platform as a service could be AWS Elastic, okay, the Beanstalk, and so on and so forth. Finally, the software as a service, a very very important, very widely being used, Salesforce, many of you might have heard already, or a Microsoft O365 suite, which is also the very frequently used services. They are an example of the software as a service, wherein the customers will go ahead and use that application straight away. The underlying infrastructure will be a headache or the responsibility of the provider. Okay, so let's compare them with one and another, so that it will give you a clear picture on what is what. So on the very left hand side, you see is your legacy infrastructure. Okay, your on-prem or on-premise infrastructure, wherein you are responsible for application, you are responsible for security, you are responsible for database, you are responsible for operating system, the virtualized server, again storage, networking, and the data center physical environment also. Okay, so pretty much everything is your responsibility. If there is an unauthorized access in your data center, you will be held responsible. Okay, if there is a problem with the fire alarm, you will be responsible. Everything is a part of your team. Okay, now if I move on to the infrastructure as a service, so wherein the if you notice the highlighted in blue, that's a responsibility of the customer. Rest of the responsibility is with the provider. So let me call out a few so that it becomes more clearer. So you as a customer would be responsible for application, because remember, the provider is only give you the infrastructure, okay, and naturally he is responsible for data center. So it is the responsibility of the provider to maintain the temperature, maintain the fire alarm, etc. of the physical security within the environment. It is responsibility of the provider to provide you a seamless access on the network. It is again a responsibility of the provider to manage the storage. If you want to upgrade the storage, if you want to upgrade the firmware of the storage, that lies with the provider. Okay, again, the virtualized environment will also be a kind of baby of the provider. But if we talk about the customer will be responsible for the operating system. So if I have say Windows 2016 application or the operating system installed on the server, the patching of the operating system is my responsibility. The hardening of the server from the application point of view or the operating system point of view, it's my responsibility or the customer's responsibility, right? Moving on to the database, if I'm using the Oracle as a database or I'm using MySQL as a database, that's again the responsibility of hardening. User management will be falling on to the customer, because remember, you are taking only infrastructure as a service from the provider. Moving on to the security and application, of course, if I am managing the managing the underlying infrastructure, I am also responsible for maintaining the security and the application. So if I have a bug in the application, if I want to upgrade, or you know, I want to upgrade the source code or something, the responsibility lies on me. Moving on to the further, you know, the reduced kind of responsibility per se flavor is platform as a service, wherein the entire suite marked in a gray is a responsibility of the provider. Okay, so if you know that you have onboarded application staff who is capable enough to manage the application, probably you would like to you know, host only applications on the platform as a service model, right? But what if you even do not have the specialized people, or you know, you do not want to invest more on developing the application? You have a model again for that, software as a service. Salesforce, very, very common example, you know, where the entire application, entire underlying infrastructure, everything is being managed by the provider. Okay, you just have to raise a ticket, and you know, everything will be seamless. So there is an upgrade of Salesforce as an application. Seamlessly, you know, it will be upgraded by the provider itself, right? You will be responsible only for the data you're going to access. Okay, so this comparison will give you a very clear picture. So guys, please memorize it, please understand it very properly, and read about it, because these are the models which you would be referring or you would be using in future as well. Okay, golden question: what will help me in deciding whether to move on a cloud or not to? Many organizations are currently, also as we speak, are still in a kind of dilemma. Should I move on the cloud or not? Cloud may be expensive, the exit may be, you know, kind of difficult. All these questions are genuine questions, valid questions. However, if you have certain you know, considerations in mind, and you know, certain factors which will help you, you know, kind of decide the cloud strategy. Okay, many organizations have the cloud first as you know, strategy. So maybe if you are into a large institution, maybe you're a large conglomerate, or maybe you're a large financial institution where you know that you are going to grow, right? HDFC Bank probably, or maybe any larger bank, right? So if you know that you're going to grow, what I will have a strategy as that cloud first strategy, wherein anything which I am thinking of development environment, I'll first provision onto the cloud. If it is successful, I'll then have my production also onto the cloud, right? That's something as a cloud first strategy. However, what helps me in deciding whether to move on the cloud or not is there are certain bullet points I have just called out here. First, your future growth. Very, very important, friends. Why? Because if you have a vision that you're going to acquire a new company 2-3 years down the line, and you want to, as a part of capacity management, if you are thinking of investing in your data center, on-prem data center, probably you can think of moving onto the cloud. So that after 3 years, whenever you are on board, you have onboarded the company, you know for sure that, you know, I'll be able to scale my infrastructure if it is required, right? That's very important. Legal and regulatory compliance. Why? Because if I am dealing with the payment card industry standards, okay, or if I am mandated to comply that, should I have a headache of building all the controls on my on-prem data center? My job maybe will be easier and will probably effective if I move on to the cloud. Because if my cloud is already PCI DSS certified, I am at least, you know, have, you know, the kind of the stressless nights. Because then it will be a responsibility of the provider to comply with the PCI DSS. So whenever the auditor comes to my premises, I'll probably tell them that, hey, my services are onto the cloud, and see the certificate given by a cloud that it is a PCI DSS compliant, right? Cost benefit analysis, right? So this is a very tricky area, wherein, you know, many of the organization fail to move on to the cloud. Why? Because they do not have the exit strategy in place, right? So many of you know, organization leadership also thinks that, hey, moving on to the cloud may be easy, but over a period of time, if I am so dependent on the cloud, and I say probably put more, you know, kind of infrastructure or a data onto the cloud, that probably my exit will be very, very difficult, or, you know, my exit will be very, very costly. There are also lock-in period, you know, in the you know, cloud agreement. So one have to be absolutely sure that within, or for at least for this many years, I'll be still stick with the cloud, right? Because If you have an exit clause, as you know, that for minimum 5 years you cannot exit, then you are in a fix, right? If you are thinking of moving before, probably you also have to pay for next 2 years for which you have taken a service, right? A very important factor. Again, what amount of data you want to move onto the cloud, right? Because remember, cloud also charges based on ingress and egress, right? So whatever data you're pulling into the cloud, that may not be chargeable, but whatever you're pulling out from the cloud, that, you know, they bill it accordingly. So again, a very important concept. How much critical your infrastructure or your application is, and how much continuously you want to monitor it, right? Since I'm moving onto the cloud, I'm in the mercy of the cloud provider support, I need to decide that, you know, what is the kind of resource monitoring I want to opt for, right? There are several decisions or several key points which helps. Now I was talking about, you know, certain demerits also of the cloud. What could be those? What could be the down, you know, the downsides of the cloud? If I am on the cloud, okay, if I think of moving onto the cloud, I am heavily dependent on it, right? Or I am heavily dependent on the connectivity. Imagine that, you know, I have the connectivity at my branch, which needs an internet to move to access the resources onto the cloud. Okay, so if my connectivity fails, or if there is a user who is, you know, accessing the cloud resources, but his probably internet is very weak, so I am probably dependent on that, which I'll have to think about. Right, sometimes too many hands make the you know, managing the cloud resources makes a little tough to control the cost. You know, you need to be absolutely sure that whatever you are provisioning, even if it is for a temporary purpose, you are deprovisioning it so that your billing stops, right? So that is some area you know, wherein a lot of organization needs some improvement there. Why? Because they provision for a temporary purpose and then they forget. So when they receive the bill, they realize that, hey, I've made a mistake, but you have no choice, you'll have to pay for it, right? The another thing is about the security measures. You may would like to have the direct route connectivity onto the cloud. You may would like to set up an you know, an additional pair of a dedicated firewall, because you know for sure that there are shared infrastructure from the firewall point of view also, right? Though it is there is a clear segregation. However, if you want, or if your organization as a thought process wants the dedicated infrastructure to be in place, that also may be, you know, a kind of consideration point you should think of. Again, since you may not know that where physically your data would present, again, you need to also see the land of law, and you have to be absolutely clear when you are dealing with the contract along with the provider that you want the data to not to go outside India or outside a specific country. You have to explicitly call that out in the cloud agreement, right? A very important one. Now, take care of yourself. Thank you so much.